Before I start, in my heart, I'm thinking about Jim Jones, and he's not the crazy one from South America, but the one over there in Rising Sun who served so many years as pastor, and I can't share him. Sharing what I've been doing. Good to see you. Thanks for the text. So what I've been doing is, you know, Jim Jones did that thing where Lent started, and it always had to start up in Caesarea Philippi, right, this place, and then we forgot the name, but year after year, Jeff, remember, he would tell us the same story. And we say, we've heard this before, but now it's clicking. So what we had was, when we started Lent, we started with Jesus needing to get away. He's pretty popular. It's like the third year of his ministry, right? And he's got such a group around him. Where can he go? Everyone knows who he is, and they want something from him. He's almost as popular as the Beatles, right? You remember that one? I don't even go there. That did not work out for the Beatles. So there he is. Where's he going to go? If he goes up to a country where no one knows him, they know him there too. He can't hide, so he needs to get away. And he goes up to Caesarea Philippi, and there he's in the middle of a place where there's temples. There's a Jewish temple, and there's a Roman temple, and there's a Greek temple. There's a temple to Baal and to Molech and all these other gods. And he says, who are you going to choose? You've got a lot of choices in our lives, don't we? Too many. Isn't it great? It's like Amazon. You want to buy a hairdryer, and they give you 7,000. But we're not going to the second page, are we? No, they're never getting sold. We go to the first page. Whatever you recommend will be here tomorrow, super. That'd be great. So we take that, and so there he is. He says, you have many choices. What are you going to choose? You're going to choose Caesar? Who are you going to pick? You're going to pick this god Baal, the fertility god. That's kind of fun. We all know what that involves. So there they say, what do you want to choose? And Peter says, I'm going to choose you. Good job, Peter. He's getting it. Taking a while. He's going to forget soon enough. So he said, let's go. I'm going to go to Jerusalem now. It's time. My time has come. I'm only 33 years old, but it's time for me to fulfill my mission. So let's go. And so they go. And as they're traveling, you see the path they take along the Jordan River, and they're going into cities and towns along the way because, you know, we need cities along rivers, don't we? Pittsburgh's on a river, Baltimore's on a harbor, New York's there, you know. Cincinnati's on a tiny little river, but Ohio, you know, Columbus is on some river. Every city needs to be on a river, so he's going to where the people are. And he's got quite a crowd. This is not a small group sneaking around, not just 12 disciples, but we see 72 of them going out. And the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And he goes into a city called Jericho. And he can't get through the city. There's so many people. And he sees some blind men. And everyone's screaming at him, Jesus, help us. Even the wee tax man comes and finds him and climbs in a tree. Come to my house. And if we read Luke correctly, it seems like he has lunch with Zacchaeus. But then he gets on his way because it's about a 7-mile walk. He's got to walk all the way to Jerusalem. This is Palm Sunday. And as he's walking along, he gets to Bethpage and Bethany. And there he sends his two horse-thieving disciples out, right, to go find a donkey for him. Go, and they come back with one. Hey, we found one, boss. The guy said, okay, you think. So anyway, So they took the donkey, and so it's mid-afternoon, or maybe it's late in the afternoon, and he's cruising into Jerusalem on the donkey, and everyone's there because the crowd's already there. Shouldn't be surprising that so many people showed up. Should I slow down? I got like 20 minutes. I haven't even gotten to the paper yet. We're setting things up, right? The plot, it thickens. But wait, there's more. So he's not sneaking into town. He's coming through the front door on Palm Sunday. We know that Pontius Pilate's coming through the other gate, and King Herod's coming through the side. Everyone's coming. Jesus, he's not hiding. He didn't come in darkness. He comes in the middle of the day with this huge crowd, and they're dropping palm trees at him. They're saying, save us, Jesus. And he goes in, it's late in the day, and according to Mark, as we covered last week, he goes in there, and this place is closed, isn't it? It's evening. He's like, it's kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? But with Luke, we see Luke, he walks in, he starts throwing things over. And we go to the book of John, we see, why would he do that? Why did he turn over the tables? What was he upset about? And what we see is this religion that's kind of manufactured, it's kind of artificial. There's 200,000 lambs being sacrificed. The blood is just running all day, and people are, it's busy. You got to get the proper money. You buy the lamb. You got to buy the proper lamb. You can't bring your own lamb. You got to use their perfect lambs. And so there's slaughter after slaughter, and he's saying, they don't get it, do they? This isn't it. The blood of these lambs is not going to save them. It's giving them dinner, right? But it's not going to save them. And so he's angry. He's sad. So we know he goes every night to live in the town, to stay at Bethany with his friends, Mary and Martha, you remember them, and Lazarus, he's doing good these days. He's back up, right? He's on his feet again. He stays with his friends. So it's the week of the Passover. All right, where are my good people? Who watched Ten Commandments yesterday? It was on again. Anyone? Yeah, I watched it. You didn't watch basketball? Way to go. You get a gold star. I watched a little basketball, and I had friends over, so. But it comes on in Easter, and when you're new to this, you're like, why is the Ten Commandments on at Easter time? It's got nothing to do with Easter, right? Wrong. It has everything to do with Easter. Why was Jesus heading to Jerusalem? For the festival. Because it says, come celebrate the Passover forever and ever, right? And do we stop celebrating? We still celebrate, don't we, at communion. So he says, though he's coming, he's following God's orders. He's obedient to his Father. Mark 14 picks up. In the 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and to kill him. He's in the courtyard, right? We see him arguing. People are trying to capture him. He says, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he's like, well, yes and no. He gives that ambiguous answer, right? Give to Caesar what's his and give to God what is God's. And they talk about the 10 servants and about how, you know, the stone, the stone is either going to fall on you or you're going to fall on it. Which way is it going to be for you? It's like this ambiguous. It doesn't quite answer the question. And it makes us crazy. And then the last one was, what was the last one? Oh, I forget. Sorry. But there he is. He's very ambiguous. And so they want to kill him because he's there in the courtyards and he's beating them at their own game. They just don't quite understand who he is and what he's there. And we understand this because even after we see the resurrection, sometimes we're still confused. But they said, let's not do it during the festival because the people may riot because he's pretty popular. We see that. We got to stay cool this week, right? Because the Roman guards are here. There's a million pilgrims in Jerusalem. And it's hot and sweaty, and there's bad sanitation, right? An anger flare. And so they're saying, let's not do it this week. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is to be sacrificed, Jesus said to his disciples, or they said to him, where do you want us to go and make preparations to eat the Passover? They don't have a place, right? They've been traveling. They got no money, right? They have money. You know who gave them the money? The women, of course. The women were following, helping them. What does Jesus say? He's got it all figured out, doesn't he? Don't worry. Go into the city. You'll see a man carrying a jug of water. And ask him, and he'll tell you where you're going to eat it. What's crazy about that, Fran? Men don't carry jugs of water. That's woman's work, you know what I'm saying? You go get the victuals, the groceries, we'll do the talking, right? This is strange to see a man carrying a jug of water. He stands out. Go and ask him and say, the teacher wants to know if we can have a room to eat the Passover. He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready to go. So the disciples set out, and they went to the city, and they found everything as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. They began to get upset, and they say one to one another, not me. I'll never betray him. It's one of you. One of you shares the dipping oil with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one to whom the Son of Man is betrayed by. It would be better if that man had not been born. So Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it and he gave it to them and he says, take, this is my body. And he took the cup and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and all of them drank from the cup. And Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for many. He needs a new covenant, don't we? We couldn't keep the old one. He gives one simple rule. We couldn't keep that one. Keep your hands off that fruit. Couldn't do it. I'll give you 10 simple rules. Don't murder, cheat, steal, lie. No, we can't do those either. Broke them all. I'll give you one. Believe in me. That's all you need. Drink. Take this cup. Take this bread. You believe in me. You will have eternal life. That's all you got to do now. I'm going to keep it simple for you. We still say no, right? They had sung a few hymns like we are, and then he went up to the Mount of Olives because it's evening and they've had a little bit of wine, and now it's time to go pray. And Jesus said to them, you're all going to desert me. You're all going to leave me. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, as it is written. But after I am raised up, I will go to before you to Galilee. Oh, good old Peter says, I'm not going to leave you. Whatever you do, I will not desert you. In Luke, Jesus says to Peter, Satan is going to sift you like wheat. He's just going to run you through his fingers. That's how weak you are. That's how weak we all are. But you're going to come back. You're going to figure it out. Our kids leave. They come back and they're going to figure it out. I left the church for 20-something years. You believe that? I love church. I love being here. 20 years I was away. And someone said, there she is. She knows who she is. That beautiful woman back there said, come. Come. Look where I am now. Look what you've done. I still hold this against you. And I can't keep it in though, Josie. It's like Jeremiah says, it's in. It just explodes. I got to share. God bless Josie Poteet. And who, that guy next to her, who's always there when you need him. You got friends like that? You better. You're all going to desert me, Jesus says. And Peter says, I'm not going to do it. But you're going to be sifted like wheat. You're going to fall away. He goes to Gethsemane, and there he prays. And he prays to his people. The disciples fall asleep. He needs someone there to help him, to be on his side. And they all fall asleep. They've had a big meal. They've had lamb. They've had bread. And they've had a few glasses of wine. And it's a warm night. And let's just lie down for a little bit. But there he is. He's suffering because he knows he's got to make a choice. There's still time for Jesus to walk away from this. They're up on the Mount of Olives. And the city's over there to the west. And to the east is wide open. He can keep on walking. He can keep on walking, but he prays to his Father. He says, take this cup away from me. We know what that cup is from Jeremiah 25. And he says, God says, I am so angry at my people, I'm going to pour a cup of wrath on you. I'm going to give you a cup, and you're going to have to drink it. Drink this wrath. It's not sweet wine anymore, but wrath. What does Jesus say? You don't have to drink it. This is what this day is all about. You don't drink that cup. I'll take it. I'll drink it. You get the new covenant. You get the sweet wine. I'll drink this bitter wrath. And so we know that he's arrested in the dark. A bunch of cowards come to arrest him. They don't arrest him when he's at the temple courts. They arrest him in the dark in the garden because Judas, the betrayer, leads him to him. And he betrays him with a kiss. And everyone else runs away. Just like he said they would. They did. They lost their nerve, didn't they? We're all kind of cool until someone shows up with a sword, aren't we? And starts poking in the side. Hey, that's all right. I don't know this guy. Never met him. So they leave him, and Jesus there is arrested. He's taken to the house of Annas. You got to love he's taken to Annas first. Where are my Bible geeks? He doesn't go to Caiaphas' house, right? He goes to the house of Annas. Why? He's not even the priest anymore. But he's Caiaphas' father-in-law. We all know who's in charge, right? It's not the guy in charge. It's the father-in-law. Take him to his house. Then they take him to Caiaphas, and he's there. They're having this, they're not supposed to, against Jewish tradition, they're having a trial in the dark. You're not supposed to do it in the dark. You're supposed to do it in the light of day, right? Cowards do it in the dark. But there they are, they're trying him. They're asking him questions. They have false witnesses against him. The false witnesses are so bad that even the people who hate him don't believe what these false witnesses are saying. But then they ask Jesus a question. Are you the Messiah? Are you the anointed one? What does Jesus say? He says, I am. I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with clouds of heaven. He's quoting the book of Daniel, isn't he? When Jesus comes again, he'll be in power. The right hand is the best seat in the house, isn't it? The guest of honor sits at the right. That's where Jesus sits. God is in the judgment seat, and Jesus is next to him. That's where I'll be sitting. They call this blasphemy, don't they? This is pretending. This is saying that you are God. And they say, no. Let's kill him. But we're not allowed to kill him, right? We can't execute a person. So let's take him to the Roman governor. Those Romans, they like executing people. They're pretty good at it. They got it all down to a science. They got a cross. And they whip you first. They leave you out in the sun where you die of dehydration and hang you on a cross so you can't breathe anymore. Let's do that. Good idea. Okay, let's go. Let's go see Pilate. Pilate's like, what's going on here? I'm not interested in your problems. But he's from Galilee. Ooh, he's got an out, doesn't he? Well, go send him to Herod. Herod can't wait to see him. Herod lives in back on the east coast of Israel there in his nice, beautiful palace called Machaerus, and that's where he had John's head taken off, and he comes for the festival too because he's sort of Jewish, so it's a party. Who doesn't like a party? So he comes for the party, and he gets to see Jesus, and if you ever watch Jesus Christ Superstar, anyone seen that one? Has anyone seen it like 300 times like me? I can't get enough of, what's that girl's name? Who's the singer for the latest one? Anyway, Alice Cooper's in it, right? You know it's cool. You know, he makes religion cool, doesn't he? You know, school's out forever. Right, Jeff? That's a good one. Remember that one? But he's a Christian, so he's singing, but he's in the play, and this is such a scene because he sings this catchy little song. It's sort of like a ragtime. You know, you are the Christ, oh, the great Jesus Christ. Why don't you be so cool, walk across my swimming pool? It's total mockery, isn't it? We hear it, it's catchy, but it's total mockery of him. Jesus won't say a word to this guy. He's got nothing to say. So Herod has enough of him. Get out of here. Go back to Pilate. This is a long day. He's been up since the day before, right? Since Thursday, you know, woke up and they got the Passover ready. He ate with them and he goes to the garden and they go to this trial and he's having that long day, isn't he? We think we have bad days. He's running on empty, right? He goes back to Pilate. They don't even come. The Jews won't even come to the palace because they don't want to go into the house of a Gentile. They'll be unclean and then they can't have that lamb which they sacrificed and paid a lot for the day before. We're not going to risk. We'd like you to do some killing, but we're not going to come and get ourselves unclean because we got a party to go to. Man, this is messed up, isn't it? I got 5 more minutes to finish the story. Talk about panicking. Chuck, turn that clock back. Goes back to Pilate. Pilate's like, what do you want me to do about this? This isn't my problem. And they say to him, if you don't execute this man, we're going to go over your head. Because you're not doing a great job. Pilate wasn't doing a great job. He's had trouble with these Jews before. He slaughtered them. And he tried to put an eagle up in the temple. They said no graven images. And there was a lot of tension. So if you cause us any more trouble, we're going to tell you, we're going to your boss. And okay, what do you want me to do? Crucify him. Why? Crucify him. But why? Crucify him. All right. He washes his hands. You do it. Then they go to town on him, don't they? They take him outside, and he gets the beating of a lifetime. A Roman flogging was different. It's not what they can't show what they do on TV. It's a total humiliation of a man. You see on TV when they show up, like The Passion of the Christ, it was pretty awful, wasn't it? That Mel Gibson wonderful movie, and there he is. See, it's humiliation. He's naked. We can't show that. And he's beaten 39 times on the back. What they don't show is you're also turned around. You're beaten 39 times on the front. And there you are in front of everyone. And they're whipping you. And you're whipped to shreds. And then they mock him. They dress him up in a purple robe. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And they mock him. They say, Hail, King of the Jews. Something he never called himself. Now the people have a choice, don't they? Pilate's feeling like he's in a good mood. He's in a giving mood. And he says, you know, every year for the Passover, I let you release a prisoner. You got this prisoner named Jesus of Nazareth, and you got this prisoner named Barabbas. We're going to let the people decide. That's an awful thing to do. You know the British government where they had this research vessel boat? They decided to let the people name it. And whatever name they came up with, they were going to go with. And guess what number one name was? Bodie McBoatface. They didn't go with it. They called it the Sir Richard Attenborough because everybody likes him, right? Bodie McBoatface. Overwhelmingly won. They were like, no, we're not doing that. Let the people decide. And we see this name, Barabbas. And we know that names all have a meaning, right, when we look at the name Daniel. And Dan means judges. He judges. And what does Daniel mean? Only God can judge. It's got the L on the end. Michael. You know, there was no one like God. What does Ben mean? Like sturdy or something? Something like that. We'll have to look it up. It's on my phone. I got an app. I got an app for everything. But his name Barabbas, we know that Bar means son of. This is his last name. This isn't his first name. But Abba is Father. He's Son of the Father. You know what his first name is? According to the RSV, it's Jesus. His name is Jesus, Son of God. Or do you want Jesus, the Nazarene? The name Jesus was pretty popular because it's from the name Joshua. One out of 20 kids was named Joshua. All the girls were Mary or Caitlin, right? So there he is. You pick. What do you want to pick? You want Jesus, this one, or you want this one? You pick. And what do the people pick? Take the murderer. We can control a murderer. We can put him down. But you can't put this guy down. You got to kill him. And they mock him, and they choose him. So he goes to the cross, and the people along the way are mocking him. When he gets to the cross, they mock him as they put him up there. There's people walking by, say, save yourself, and they mock him. And then the two criminals on either side of him, one of them mocks him too. And this is what we do when we look down on someone. He was supposed to be something. He was supposed to save us, and Judas knew it. He said, Jesus is going to lead us back, going to get rid of the Romans. We're going to rule again. We're going to have this kingdom of David back. He's supposed to do what we want him to do, and he doesn't do it. He's weak, and he's weak so we can be strong. We know in our weakness it gives us strength. We know that the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians, he's there, and he has this vision of heaven. And he sees the glory of God. And then God says, I'm gonna hurt you. I'm going to put a thorn in your side. And because you're weak, you will be made perfect and you will be strong. We don't like weak people, do they? We like our candidates to come out and crush the other guy, don't we? We like, even if they have to lie, and both sides do it, we know that. And they mocked him. Jesus had to become weak so that we could be strong. He had to be our sacrifice. So we don't have to bring one. We can't bring a lamb to the altar. All the blood of all the lambs are never enough to cover our sins. And Jesus says, I'm going to do it once and for all. We should be overjoyed today. The weather's beautiful. We're going to go home and eat, stuff ourselves, right? I cooked the world's driest brisket last night. I actually choked on it because I was trying to get more down. You know, in the panic of, I got to eat more, you know, like an anaconda, I got to unhinge my jaw. And I started choking, and that was enough for me, you know. I didn't have room for cake. It was awful. First world problems I got, huh? I got like 14 more pages, but that's not going to work today. A commentator told me to quote in a movie. It's still out, I think, down at the Elkton Theater. It's back in the... It's called Angels with Dirty Faces. Anyone know that one? Anybody remember that movie? Came out in 19... How do you remember that, Jim? You know, who stars in it? Jimmy Cagney. And Humphrey Bogart's in it. He shoots Humphrey Bogart. Remember that scene? Then? Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Because YouTube, you can see everything. You know, didn't see the whole thing, but the one scene where you see Rocky Sullivan. You know he's famous because remember the Warner Brothers, the Looney Tunes? The gangsters would come, and they were mocking Rocky Sullivan. Rocky says, yeah, you know, and that guy. And that's how Jimmy Sagan talks, right? Yeah, you know, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, they'll never catch me. You know, and he's absolutely great. He's sneering. And so he plays Rocky Sullivan. He's a criminal, but his best friend is Pat O'Brien, who's Father Connolly. So we see this yin-yang thing. And so when Rocky's caught, and he's going to be executed for his crimes, and Father Sullivan comes, and because Father Sullivan has an orphanage, and he's got all the bad kids. They're called the Dead End Kids, and they all worship Rocky, the bad guy. He's trying to get them to, you know, give up the life of crime and go straight and make something of themselves, right? He says, Rocky, you're going to be executed. You know what you got to do? You got to be weak. You got to be regretful. You got to go to that electric chair. You got to see old Sparky, and you got to be crying. You got to give up your strength. He says, I can't do that. That's all I got left. I'm Rocky Sullivan. Yeah, Rocky Sullivan, I'm the guy. This is what I do. He says, please do it for the kids. Because you got to be weak. They got to see you be a failure so they can be lifted up. If you go to that chair as a hero, they're going to go down. What's Rocky doing? Anyone knows the story? He goes and they put him in the chair. And he starts bawling. He starts crying, don't do it, don't do it, don't. I don't want to go. And Father Sullivan is just praying. And Jimmy Cagney is holding on. He says, he's fighting him. And he always said, I wanted to leave it ambiguous. Like Jesus when he answers a question, what should I do? A little ambiguous, figure it out. What did he do it? Was he really scared or was he doing it for the kids? In our hearts, we know he's doing it for the kids, right? He became weak so those kids could live. Jesus became weak so we can live. He could have called angels. The devil knows it's true, right? When the devil took him up to the temple to tempt him, he says, jump off. You can do it. You know the angels are going to catch you. And he says, we don't tempt God. I know I can call down angels. I'm not going to do it. This is what our day is. This day, it's a celebration of God's love for us, each and every one of us. It shows what we're worth to the Creator of heaven. You're worth him giving himself up for you. Your sins are forgiven. Do you know that? They're wiped away. He's weak. You're strong. This is good news. Amen? Would you pray with me? God, get you all home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins. We think that we can do it on our own, that our good deeds and our good works are sufficient for you, and you said no. It's never enough. The only thing you need is him. And to many of us, it makes us angry that Jesus says, I'm the only way. I'm the only way to the Father. There's no way except for me. And we become arrogant. So we can do it on our own. And Jesus says, no. The Father says, listen to my Son. Do what he says. Listen to my Son. Jesus welcomes you. I pray you find him, that you continue to read Scripture on your own and read what it says, that you see the undying love of Jesus, the open arms stretched to you. Come, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. Come, all of you who are hungry, you will be well fed. Come, all of you who are lonely, you will be shown comfort. Come, all of those who are hurting and grieving, you will be blessed. Come to the Lord. Lay down your hearts. Lay down your burdens before the Lord. We pray together in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the good people say,